Radio Prague News.
The cabinet has delayed inter-coalition debate on revising the labor code. The interior minister is to present a positive report on the police action at Czech Tech, and state authorities are ready to release crude oil reserves in case of a market shortage. The governing coalition has postponed a meeting of party leaders on amendments to the labor code. A spokeswoman for the labor ministry has said the proposals under consideration would bring about the biggest change to the labor law system since 1990. The cabinet meeting, which was to take place on Wednesday, has been pushed back by 2 weeks so that an inter-party working committee can address some of the sticking points. These include proposals on workers' rights that some employers' associations say give unions too much power and would make it far too difficult to sack redundant or unproductive employees. The finance ministry has also objected to a proposal that would have the Social Security Administration responsible for on-the-job accident insurance, which is now handled by commercial insurers. Interior Minister František Bublan is due to submit a comprehensive report to the government on Wednesday as to how the police forces acted this July to shut down a techno music festival known as Czech Tech. Scores of police officers and festival goers were injured when police used tear gas and water cannons to break up the techno rave. Claims of police brutality at Czech Tech led to massive protests, mainly by young people, throughout the country. According to media reports citing a leaked copy of the document, the Interior Minister will report on Wednesday that, apart from a few isolated incidents, the police acted within the bounds of the law. Mr. Bublan will recommend, however, that special crowd control or anti-conflict police teams are created and clearer rules of engagement be put in place. The Czech Republic said on Tuesday it was ready to release some 9,800 barrels of crude oil every day to help eliminate possible market shortages caused by Hurricane Katrina, the Associated Press reported. The state-run Administration of State Material Reserves said it has not yet received any such request. The agency said in a statement that it was ready to pump extra crude oil to the local market for 30 days. In related news, the Labor and Social Affairs Ministry has announced that as of January 2006, it will increase the annual transportation subsidy given to disabled people in light of rising fuel costs. The Finance Ministry is also considering giving a subsidy to truckers and other professionals most affected by higher fuel costs. The price of petrol at Czech filling stations has risen by several crowns since Hurricane Katrina hit the U.S. city of New Orleans last week. Petrol is now selling for about 32 crowns per liter, or roughly $5.25 per gallon. And finally, the weather. Clear skies and temperatures in the upper 20s is the forecast for the next couple of days. I'm Brian Kennedy. Stay tuned now for the rest of the program.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. The second most popular Czech TV station is up for sale. The Czech National Library wins a UNESCO award. Czech archaeologists uncover a lost Inca town. And we also look at how Prague has become a mecca for British stag groups. All that and more coming up, so please stay tuned. The Czech Republic's second most watched television station, TV Prima, is up for sale. Reported to be among the interested buyers are international media heavyweights like the Australian-born billionaire Rupert Murdoch. As Brian Kennedy reports, a recent change in the Czech broadcasting law and success in the TV ratings battle has greatly boosted TV Prima's market value.
TV Prima director Martin Dvořák has long hinted that the commercial station was courting some big-name strategic investors. It now appears to be prime time. On the strength of aggressive programming like the reality show Vyvolení, or The Chosen, TV Prima is gaining on its main rival in the ratings battle, the commercial station TV Nova, whose version of the Dutch hit Big Brother has proven a disappointment. But more than programming, it is a recent change in the broadcasting law that makes Prima a hot commodity now. By the year 2008, Czech public television's two stations will be obliged to drop virtually all advertising spots. The vast majority of revenue from television advertising, now valued at some $375 million annually, already goes to Nova and Prima at roughly 55% and 23% respectively. With the Czech public broadcaster out of the picture, the commercial station's already healthy ad market is guaranteed to grow. Vivoleni and original programming aside, Prima's lineup has relied heavily on cheap, straight-to-video American films and dated serials. Prima is looking for a global media investor not only so that the station may finance its development, but also to cut costs by gaining rights to a larger programming library. According to the Czech daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, at least three major players have set their sights on Prima. The best known is Rupert Murdoch, whose news corporation holdings include the Fox and Sky networks and tabloid publications on both sides of the Atlantic. Germany's RTL Group, which operates over 30 television stations worldwide, has also made inquiries. But, according to the Czech daily, negotiations are furthest along with the Swedish broadcasting group MTG, a major operator in Scandinavia, Russia, the Baltics, and Hungary. TV Prima's Martin Dvořák would only say there is a constant flow of interested parties.
Brian Kennedy reporting. The Czech National Library has just been presented with UNESCO's Čiči Memory of the World Award. The library won the new prize for a pioneering project in which old manuscripts are turned into digital form or digitized. But is the system under threat from Google? Ian Willoughby reports.
2005 UNESCO Čiči Memory of the World Prize laureate is the National Library of Czech Republic.
And the winner is the Czech National Library, announced in the South Korean city of Cheongju last weekend, as UNESCO's Memory of the World Prize was presented for the first time.
The Čiči Prize is the prize that's given by UNESCO for safeguarding and preservation of and access to documentary heritage, specifically to the documentary heritage that's in danger of disappearance.
Says Adolf Knoll of the Czech National Library, who was in South Korea for the awards ceremony.
We developed a technology of digitization of historical collections that is one of the first in Europe, and we shared a lot of our knowledge with neighboring countries and also with some countries of Asia. And I think that this fact that we shared the knowledge and we trained a lot of people abroad in many countries is appreciated a lot in UNESCO. And maybe it was one of the decisive factors when the International Advisory Committee for the Memory of the World program decided to choose us.
The Czech National Library was one of the first institutions in Europe to transform manuscripts into digital form, starting in 1992. Since then, the internet website Google has also got in on the act and has made a deal to digitize millions of books for some of the world's top universities. But many leading European libraries are against the creation of a global virtual library by Google. Where does Adolf Knoll stand on the issue?
It's no competition. I think that we have two special programs that concern very old, endangered, and so on documents. Google targets mostly what we call modern literature. Modern literature means also 19th century. And this is the area on which we would like to concentrate also in my country, but it means a bit another technology to enable fast digitization. So it means automated scanners that can browse pages to give high output. Nowadays it's said mostly that it's a kind of challenge coming from Google for Europeans to do something in this domain.
And 19 European national libraries, including the Czech National Library, have actually agreed to work together to put European literature online. But the project is still in its early stages.
My thanks to Ian Willoughby for that report. Now, a Czech scientific expedition has claimed to have found a lost Inca city at the highest altitude to date in the Andes Mountains of Bolivia. A team of two Czech scientists and two researchers, including the head of the philosophy faculty of Olomouc, Ivo Bartecek, spent 3 weeks of the South American winter to prove that Inca and pre-Incan civilizations once existed at the highest regions of the Andean mountain range. The expedition centered on the area around Lake Titicaca. As Jan Wellinger reports, the Czechs hope to shed new light on the life of the Incas and their history.
Three weeks of biting winter at 3,000 to 4,000 meters may not be everybody's idea of a good time, but it brought remarkable rewards this year for Ivo Bartacek and other members of the Czech expedition in the Andes, setting out to prove that Inca settlements existed at even higher altitudes than previously found. The team proved successful in uncovering one such settlement made up of several sites and dozens of ruins over a 10-kilometer range. The search took place in the region of Lake Titicaca, Ivo Bartacek says, under the highest place under the sun. The Incas revered its precious rays, and the most important deity in their pantheon was their sun god, Inti.
We wanted to map the heritage of pre-Inca and Inca cultures, as well as the impact of Spanish conquistadors, and we began with the basic hypothesis that we would search in the highest areas. The sun was always of paramount life-giving importance for the Incas, so we centered our search as high up and close to the glaciers as possible, the southeast Bolivian side above Titicaca, beneath the peaks of Iampu and Ancohuma.
What they found should interest both experts and lay history buffs.
The area is precious in its complexity, valuable as a whole more than in its details. Nevertheless, there's plenty that will interest both experts and laymen. In terms of historical topography, for me, one of the most important elements was mapping communication routes. But visiting travelers, if they climb so high, will be interested in seeing the site. The lowest part of the settlement once included at least 5 burial pyramids, 2 of which are still in existence.
Now, extensive photographic and video documentation remains to be analyzed over the next several months. It will be an arduous process, but it should be worth it, says Ivo Bartacek. Lake Titicaca is the cradle of South American civilizations. After the new area is mapped, it will open the way for new archaeological research that should continue where Bartacek and co. leave off.
That report by Jan Wellinger. Just a reminder, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio.
Hello, potem, chłopcie, kde baxi? Hello, synstvo moje.
Tady jsem, tati, co bys chtěl?
Nevíš, co se patří, když se někam vejde? Co jsem tě říkal, že máš udělat?
The sound of the classic Czech puppet show Spabel and Hurvínek. They have recently been making the news in Slovakia after the program was aired by the country's public service TV station STV. The problem is that the law says all programs for children under 12 have to be dubbed into Slovak. So after only 3 days, the program was withdrawn and replaced by a domestic series. Czech and Slovak are both Western Slavonic languages that share many similarities. The law on the state language of the Slovak Republic was passed in 1995, just 2 years after the split of Czechoslovakia. Now, 12 years after the separation, do Slovaks find it difficult to understand the Czech language? That's a question I put to Martina Greňová from Radio Slovakia International.
The situation is, I would say, different to the situation in the Czech Republic, because while in the Czech Republic there are no or really very rarely some Slovak programs screened, in Slovakia it is different. There are Czech films and Czech TV series being shown on Slovak public TV in the prime time. So it is not a problem for Slovaks to keep up with the Czech language.
How about children? Are they having difficulties understanding Czech?
The situation is the same with children because, for example, the popular TV series The Simpsons was not dubbed into Slovak, but it was broadcast with the Czech dubbing on Slovak TV. So it might suggest that Slovak children are in touch with the Czech language much more than the Czech children with the Slovak language. On the Slovak TV, you can still see the, let's say, Czech classical pieces, for example, the film versions of famous fairy tales, which were shot in the former Czechoslovakia in the 50s or in the 70s. And these fairy tales are aimed mainly at the children audience. So I would say that the children are still in touch with the Czech language, albeit they might not understand it as much as, for example, my generation did.
I was talking there to Martina Greňová from Radio Slovakia International. You are listening to Radio Prague. Now, it may come as no surprise to you when I say that Prague has become a mecca for British stag groups. Well, Ian Willoughby now looks at the phenomenon.
Since the fall of the Iron Curtain, Prague has become one of the most visited tourist destinations in Europe. But in the last few years, the Czech capital has also become hugely popular with British stag groups, large groups of men celebrating some husband-to-be's last weekend of freedom, or just here to have a good time, in a city which has earned a dubious reputation as the Amsterdam of the East. Stand here on Wenceslas Square on any Saturday evening, and you'll see lots of British stag groups, and they openly admit they've come to Prague for the cheap booze and the cheap sex.
There's 15 of us at the moment in various places, all doing the same thing.
All in strip clubs.
Beautiful culture. Women. Culture. Beautiful women. That's what we
lovely
have. Culture.
Culture. Yeah. Lovely blonde-haired culture. Yeah, we like all that.
Listen, it's a beautiful city, and the architecture's fantastic. But what we're seeing is it's built up a culture now that's a stag weekend and people enjoying themselves. They're coming here, a good time, cheap beer. It's easy to get here. 2 hours from UK. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Fantastic. Been to Amsterdam maybe 8-9 times. Kept saying, want to go to Prague. Want to go to Prague. Here, beer cheap as chips. Cheap as chips.
I had some drinks, but mainly sex.
It's okay if you only have hand massage.
If you enter Prague, stag, something like that on Google, you'll get about 100,000 hits, and there'll be at least 100 companies there you could choose from.
Says Tom Kenyon of one of the biggest stag weekend organisers, Prague Piss Up.
It's actually really got popular since about 2002, so we're only talking about quite a short time, probably about the last 2 or 3 years, that things have really skyrocketed. First of all, definitely the biggest driver is the cheap flights. I read somewhere there's 20 cheap flights a day arriving in Prague.
As for the number of men who come from the UK to party in Prague, it could average out at almost 1,000 a weekend.
Our guess is that there's roughly about 40,000 over the year. They're all arriving on sort of like Thursday, Friday, leaving Sunday, Monday, and there's only a certain number of flights, so there's only a certain capacity. So we think roughly, you know, 40, 45,000 would be a good guess, and out of those, we cater for roughly about 15,000. About a third of those groups will come just on their own. They'll organise something on the internet and turn up. That third particularly we would like, you know, to try and discourage from coming, because I think those are the third that probably create a negative impression.
Rocky O'Reilly's Irish pub is on Szczepanska Street, just off Wenceslas Square. Owner Robbie Norton is very familiar with the stag scene.
What you must remember is a lot of these guys are young men, away from home, away from any either parental influence or girlfriend or wife influence, which is a very strong influence with us all, let's face it. And they find themselves in a strange city with their friends, very little control, cheap alcohol, and all the other things that can really lead a guy into behaviour that he normally wouldn't be associated with.
And that behaviour includes, in some cases, visiting strip clubs and brothels. There are a number of brothels just off Wenceslas Square, mostly on the street Vesmečkach,
and it's impossible to walk down the city's main thoroughfare after dark without noticing the many street prostitutes. Robbie Norton again.
Personally, I think it's terrible. I really think it's horrific, and I don't understand why the authorities don't clean it up. It would be unfair and inaccurate to call this a stag party phenomenon problem, because I'm in Prague long enough to remember this prostitution and brothels in Prague, possibly in not such high profile, but certainly their existence was here 8, 10, 11 years ago. So I think it would be unfair just to say that's catering for a demand from stag parties.
How do the locals react when they see large groups of British lads out on the tear in the centre of Prague? The truth is, many Czechs rarely go out in the city centre, which they regard as too expensive and, well, full of foreigners. And those that do go into town at the weekend don't seem to mind stag groups too much, says Tom Kenyon of Prague Pissup.
I think it's quite amusing to see, like, 10 blokes dressed as pimp daddies walking through Wenceslas Square. And, you know, generally all the Czechs, they come up to them, they're laughing, they're taking pictures of them. All the groups, you know, are writing and saying that they have a tremendous reception here amongst the Czechs, that Czechs find it funny, it's unusual, it's something new to them. It definitely adds a little bit of colour to the local scene.
Sometimes perhaps a little too much colour for some people's liking. Pub owner Robbie Norton says most groups are not misbehaved, but some don't know where to draw the line.
A lot of them behave quite badly. Having said that, you know, a lot of them doesn't mean all of them. We have had many, many, many groups in here extremely well behaved. But there is a minority who come to Prague for trouble. But I think this is not a uniquely Prague problem. I think this happens in my home city of Dublin also, which is probably why Dublin took the steps of making stags so unwelcome that they couldn't even reserve hotel rooms. That if you try phoning Dublin to book a hotel room for hotel accommodation for 46 people or 25 people, you're just sold, I'm sorry, we're full.
The Irish capital took the step of banning stag groups because they were putting off other tourists with their loud and loutish behaviour. Is that something the Czech authorities would ever consider? Rostislav Vondruška, Director of State Agency Czech Tourism.
I am aware of the fact that Dublin banned these groups, and I think it's a feasible evolution. It might happen here if the problems will not continue, because there are not so many, but it will more arise. I think they are not giving Prague a bad name right now, but it could happen in the future when we actively promote this kind of tourism, and that will not happen.
Do you think some tourists maybe wouldn't come here because they see on the streets these drunk Brits?
I don't think so. I mean, the stag parties participants, they tend to spend 100% of their time in the pubs. I don't think there's a collision between normal tourists and stag parties.
For now, it seems the Czech authorities are taking a hands-off approach to stag tourism. But in any case, says Tom Kenyon of Prague Pissup, it's only a matter of time before young British men in search of adventure discover the novelty of other cities in the former Eastern Bloc.
There is a lot of new destinations starting all the time. We started doing Budapest last year and Tallinn the year before, and we will probably do Bratislava and Warsaw in the next year, because, you know, there's demand. These other cities are desperate for these clients. You know, they want tourists and they welcome them, much as Prague did 5 years ago. It is inevitable that the numbers will go down because of, you know, all this competition from these other destinations.
So these stag groups may move on sometime in the future. For now, though, they remain a very visible phenomenon here in the heart of the Czech capital.
Try to click with what you got. Taste every potion, 'cause if you like yourself a lot, go let it out. Go let it in. And go let it out.
And that brings us to the end of the programme. If you'd like to drop us a line, you can do so at the usual address, Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or English at radio.cz. You can find all our programs in sound and text on our website www.radio.cz. Thank you for tuning in. Till next time, this is Pavla Horáková saying goodbye, and we leave you with Go Let It Out by the British band Oasis.
So go!